Hare Krishna. I welcome all of you on this very auspicious Sunday, on this Sunday Love Feast program at New Yoga Peeth Temple, Slovenia. And I feel very fortunate, honored to be amongst all of you here today. And I am very grateful to all of you for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Being an Indian, it is a ecstatic experience to experience Navadvip Dham out of India. And this is all due to the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, that by His causeless mercy, we are here sitting in Navadvip Dham. So when Srila Prabhupada, an ordinary person, when they buy any piece of land, so they want to use for their own purpose. They make the house for themselves, for their family. But with great struggle, Srila Prabhupada bought piece of land in Navadvip Mayapur Dham to build a magnificent temple, Sri Mayapur Chandrodaya. It is a great history that how he acquired the land and to construct this magnificent temple of Sri Panchatattva, Radha Madhav, Sri Narasimha Dev. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bestowing His causeless mercy upon all the living conditioned souls of this material world. And the same Lord Chaitanya, with His expansions, He has very kindly, mercifully appeared in this new Yoga Peetha temple to bestow His continuous mercy upon all the citizens of Slovenia. What a amazing mercy this is. So when Srila Prabhupada met first time to His Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, and in first meeting itself, Saraswati Maharaj instructed Srila Prabhupada to go to the West and preach in English language to the Western people. And this instruction he took to his heart. And approximately 40 years of preparation, on Friday, August 13, 1965, he crossed the Indian border, traveled by a cargo ship, Jaladut, for nearly 38 days, experiencing seasickness, heart attacks, and when he arrived America, he had only 40 rupees, which was equivalent to approximately $8, and as per Srila Prabhupada, it was enough to spend within 1 hour in New York. And he did not know which direction he should go. Even his host Gopal Agarwal received that letter about his arrival, which Srila Prabhupada has wrote him from Vrindavan, the day when Srila Prabhupada arrived in New York. And that is why Gopal Agarwal could not go personally to receive Srila Prabhupada. And therefore he appointed a travel agent to bring Srila Prabhupada at his home. Everyone in India was discouraging him to go to the West, and everyone in America was discouraging him to stay in America. That was the situation Srila Prabhupada was facing. And then slowly and gradually, Lord revealed his plan, Lord Chaitanya, that what wonderful plan he has to be done by the hands of Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, we read that how Lord Krishna showed his Vishwarupa, Virat Rupa form. And when Arjuna saw, he became very scared. Was it not within the capacity of the Lord to annihilate all those assembled army soldiers? Why he needed the help of Arjuna? Because this is the nature of the Lord, that he wants to be conquered by the love of his devotee. And he asked Arjuna that you kill them and take all the credits. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya had a plan that he wanted. He declared that in every town and village of this planet, my name will be chanted. Was it not within the capacity of Lord Chaitanya that he himself could do this job? One time, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not do this preaching work across the Indian oceans, Indian border? And Prabhupada became very grave. And he bowed down his head and he said, he left this work for us. Similarly, Lord gave opportunity to Arjuna to become the hero, the victorious in the war of Kurukshetra, Mahabharata. So this is the astounding nature of the Lord, that he is the unconquerable, Ajita, whom nobody can defeat, nobody can conquer, and he accept to be under the control of his devotees. What incredible quality. The Lord manifests in this world, as Vrindavan Das Thakur writes in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Tulasi Devi, Ganga Jal, Mother Ganga, Vaishnav, the Lord manifests himself in these forms. And that Ganga Jal, that river Ganga, is manifesting from the lotus feet of the Lord, washing his lotus feet, coming down from the spiritual world to this material world. And as Tulsi Devi or Vrinda Devi is expansion of the Lord's internal potency, by the help of these two elements, Advaita Acharya, seeing the conditional, the pathetic situation of the living entities in this material world, his heart was crying to see the condition of the living entities who were bereft of spiritual knowledge. And therefore, out of compassion, he worshipped the Lord with the help of the same Ganga water and Tulsi Devi. And he called the Lord Chaitanya to descend in this material world to bestow his mercy. So what the Acharyas says, that this is the greatest mystery of the Lord's wonderful quality, that the unconquerable Lord becomes conquered by the love of his devotees. Similarly, we see that Srila Ishwarapuri, who was the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he was such a saintly soul, such a dedicated disciple, very knowledgeable person about on the Shastra, scripture. He was a like Pandita. But when Sripad Madhavendra Puri was very sick during the course of his final pastime. So Ishwara Puri was serving his spiritual master, doing such a menial service, cleaning his stool, giving him bath, massaging his body, reading for him. And Madhavendra Puri became so pleased with his simple, humble, menial service. And he blessed him, that I bless you, my child. May love of Krishna develop in your heart. And that one blessing is the greatest wealth of any disciple. And all the living saintly people on that time who were appeared in this earth, Lord Chaitanya accepted his spiritual master amongst all of them to Srila Ishwara Puri. Why? Because Srila Ishwara Puri was in the mood of servant of the Lord. So that all-powerful Lord was conquered by the love of his devotee. We know that when Srila Ishwara Puri came to Navadvip, he was such a simple sadhu, looks like a beggar. Nobody could recognize him when he arrived to Navadvip. His dress was so simple and torn from so many places. Nobody honored him. Nobody recognized him. So where is the question of honoring? And he was so unassuming. He was always in the mood of serving to others. And while wandering, he came to the house of Advaita Prabhu. And he just sat on the entrance of his house. At that time, Advaita Acharya, he was doing his deity worship. Suddenly he noticed that there is one sadhu sitting at the house. And his whole attention was diverted from deity worship towards that sadhu. Even he could not recognize who that personality is. But within his heart of heart, he felt that he must be some great soul who has come to my home. And he came and he asked him, "Who are you? Who are you? You must be some Vaishnava sannyasi." And what was the reply of Srila Ishwara Puri? He did not proclaim, yes, I am, you identified me correctly. He bowed down his head in utter humility and said, "I am the lowest of the low." This is the nature of a great soul. He always feel himself lowest. The more one advances in devotional service, he feels himself that he is the lowest. And the more a person who is advanced in materialistic life, he feels himself as he is the most advanced, most civilized. This is such a reversible formula. So Mukunda was there, who is a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, his very intimate associate, and he was watching that something is going on here. And he wanted to know what is happening. Then Mukunda, he started reciting verses from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Srila Ishwara Puri heard this songs of Srimad Bhagavatam, he could not control his spiritual emotion. His heart erupted out of the love for the Lord. Because it is said that the transcendental sound vibration is non-different from the Lord himself. So Ishwara Puri could not control his spiritual emotion, and all the ecstatic symptoms in his body manifested. And then All the devotees, Advaita Prabhu, Mukunda, they recognized, because it takes one to know one. And they recognized, this is the great Vaishnava Acharya Ishwara Puri. They became so happy to find Ishwara Puri amongst them. And now, thus Ishwara Puri spent several months staying in Navadvip at the house of Gopinath Acharya. And every day he was giving a discourse about the pastime of Lord Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit, he became his student and learning the science of Lord Krishna's pastime. So one day, Srila Ishwara Puri was walking on the street of Navadvip, and it happens that he saw Nimai Pandit coming from the opposite direction with his students. And as soon as Nimai Pandit saw from a distance to Srila Ishwara Puri, he is a Parameshwar and he knows who is who. And he understood, here is my spiritual master coming. He immediately offered his obeisances to Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri, although he was a great devotee of the Lord, and he became later on, he became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, but still he did not recognize that he is my worshipable Lord Gaur Sundar. And he came near to Nimai and he asked, oh beautiful boy, what is your name? Then immediately the students of Nimai Pandit, they introduced, oh, this is a great Nimai Pandit. And Ishwara Puri already knew his glories. So he was very happy to meet Nimai. And immediately Nimai Pandit invited Ishwara Puri at his home for prasadam. So Ishwara Puri went to his home and Sachi Devi cooked amazing feast offered to their deities Krishna Balaram and then offered this prasadam to Sripad Ishwara Puri. The whole family was serving to this great Vaishnava Acharya. And this is what Lord Chaitanya, by his personal example, he is teaching us that how one should serve the spiritual master. And he was a grihastha also. And his wife, Lakshmi Devi, and later on Vishnu Priya, there was every day the devotees were coming to Nimai Pandit's house. And Lakshmi Devi was cooking and serving prasadam to them. She never complained. She always woke up before her mother-in-law woke up in the morning. And she always slept after everybody at home would sleep. Every day massaging the lotus feet of his lord of her heart, Nimai Pandit. And doing all kind of menial services. So this is a Vedic life. Where husband and wife, they are like a complete component. Even if one part is broken down, then that component will become disabled to function properly. So that is the purpose of Grihastha Ashram, that which is based on Krishna being in the center of their life. Not for the sense gratification they are coming together, wife and husband, but in order to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, making their house is a temple. That is why Srila Prabhupada highly recommended that every grihastha should worship deity. Deities of, especially Lord Gauranga and Nityananda Prabhu. Because they are very merciful. To worship Radha and Krishna, we need very high qualification. But to worship Gaur Nitai, there is no qualification required. And what is the duty of Grihastha? To invite at their home saintly people, serve them by offering them prasadam, by kind words, and hear from them about the topics of Lord Krishna. Otherwise, we are completely misguided. Even though we may call ourselves we are a Grihastha, but Grihastha, there is two words given in Bhagavatam, Grihastha and Grihamedi. And there is a gulf of difference between these two words. Outwardly we see the people, they are a family, householder, they are living in the house. But inwardly we don't know what kind of lifestyle they have adopted. But a Vaishnava in the Vedic lifestyle, it is very different. Krishna becomes the center of their life. And any activity and every activity, whatever they are doing, it is for the mental pleasure of Guru and Vaishnava and the Lord. There is no question of divorce in Vedic lifestyle. Prabhupada always told that these two things, this divorce and abortion, this is a gift of Kali Yuga. Even I come from a very village setup of India, and when I was in a young age, I could never figure out what is this divorce. For many years I could not figure it out. We call in our language, this word is called talak. This is actually a Arabic word, and our language is a lot of mixed with English and Arabic word, some French words also. So this talak, and it is said in the Muslim religion that three times, either the partner, if say talak, 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 means they are completely divorced. So I never could figure out. And in Vedic lifestyle, this what is said, that once the girl leave the house of parents, as soon as she steps out of the house of parent, once she get the marriage, then only her dead body will come inside the house of her parents. Whatever situation is there at her husband's home, she will completely surrender to that situation and serve her in-laws, family, her husband's family, with full of responsibilities. And this is why Srila Prabhupada, when he started preaching this movement, and when he saw the hippies are living together in live-in relationship, this word also, when I heard for a long time, I could not figure out what is the meaning of this live-in relationship. For us, it's like a culture shock. So Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada has just not given us this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, dancing, feasting, but he has brought us the complete package, whole culture he has brought us to live in that culture. And therefore, although he was a sannyasi, but he took the responsibility to marriage their students, their disciples. And the first marriage, immediately after the initiation, which took place on the next day, was Mukunda and Janaki. And when Balimardhan Prabhu and his wife got married, and Srila Prabhupada acted as a priest, even when Janaki and Mukunda got married, Prabhupada, because both of their families were not there, and this is another culture shock for us. When there is a marriage in the family, it's a huge festival in Indian families. All the devotees, relatives, friends, they are all coming to the home, and earlier it used to be 7 days. 7 days festival. But now as the Kali Yuga is advancing and we are lacking a proper time, so some places it is 3 days, some places it is even 1 day. So when Janaki and Mukunda got married, Prabhupada, because their family were not there, and the girl is supposed to be, we call it Kanyadan, means giving a charity of a girl. This is the duty of a father, that the girl is to be given in charity. So Prabhupada acted as father of Janaki and made this Kanyadan. So what a fortunate soul they are. So that is why Prabhupada asked them to get married. Don't live like this. This is living is like this is happened only in animal society, not in human society. So Lord Chaitanya, with the help of Vishnu Priya, with the help of Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, he was serving sincerely, and by his own example, he is teaching us how a grihastha should serve the devotees. So one day, Srila Ishwarpuri, asked Nimai Pandit that I have written this book called Krishna Lilamrit and I want you to edit this book because you are a scholar, you are a Pandit of Vyakaran, grammar, and you must edit this book. Lord Chaitanya became very ashamed because he knew that Ishwar Puri is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And he said that, O Puripad, how can there be any mistake when such a great devotee is composing any scripture? Even though if there will be any grammatical error, and if somebody tries to find out it, he will be immediately become offended. And if such a scripture composed by a pure devotee, even though if there will be any kind of mistake, one should not consider it as a mistake. Within his heart, Ishwar Puri, when he heard such an appreciation, as per the, based on the Shastra, he became very happy. But he again told to Nimai Prabhu, Nimai Pandit, that still for the sake of public, you should edit this book. So Nimai Pandit accepted the proposal, the instruction of his to be a spiritual master. And soon after, he came back with the book and he told to Ishwar Puri that I could not find any mistake on this book except one thing, that one word you have used in this book, Atmanepadi, according to me, it should be Parasmepadi. So Ishwar Puri said, okay, I will consider your proposal. Nimai Pandit left that place. And when the next day Nimai Pandit came, so Ishwar Puri said that you gave that proposal and I was considering your proposal. But I think what I have written, Atmanepadi, that is correct. And Nimai Pandit, although he was a great scholar, and as we all know that how arrogant he was in his very mischievous activities when he was present in Navadvip, that anybody who met to Nimai Pandit, he would debate with him, Nimai Pandit, and he will defeat them. He will present an argument and he will ask that devotee that you please defeat my argument. And that devotee would try to defeat that argument. Then he would say, this is impossible to defeat your argument. And then Nimai Pandit would say, okay, you cannot do. Okay, now see. Then he would reverse his argument. He would defeat his own argument. And then Nimai Pandit would say, now you defeat this argument. And that devotee become very puzzled, very confused. He would say, this is impossible, Nimai Pandit, to defeat this argument. And Nimai Pandit would say, okay, now you see. And then again Nimai Pandit would defeat that argument. So this is what? This was the ultimate sports of India that time in Bengal. Like now in India we have a cricket. What is the national sports here in Slovenia? Football, soccer, yes. World Cup, skiing? Okay. But in Bengal, when Lord Chaitanya was there, their national sports was debating. They had no such interest in this cricket or skiing or swimming, nothing. But they had only interest in debate. So this is how all the devotees, whenever he would see, oh, Nimai is coming from this direction, oh, they will immediately turn away. They will run away, they will escape, not to face him and to waste their time. So such a great Nimai, here when his guru is saying that your suggestion, what you are saying me, is not acceptable to me. Intellectually, Lord Chaitanya accepted defeat from Ishwar Puri. Why? Because this is the nature of the Lord, that he was willing to accept defeated by the love of his devotee. We see again that when the great Digvijay Pandit, Keshav Kashmiri Pandit, when he came to Navadvip, he was such a great scholar, Keshav Kashmiri. He has defeated all the people, all the great scholars who were present at that time in all directions. And he was so arrogant, so puffed up. And wherever he would go, there was a complete, total entourage of him, karwa. He was traveling in palanquin, four people were carrying to him, either in the elephant, and all kind of trumpet and kartal and mridang were being played. And there were pandit, priest who were reciting the slokas in his glorification. So such was his opulence. And when they would arrive to a village, they would proclaim that great Keshav Kashmiri has come here to challenge all the scholars of this village. So one time he came to Navadvip. In a similar fashion. And he proclaimed there that I have arrived here to debate. And when the scholars, the great scholars, Navadvip was the highest seat of knowledge at that time. Like what we call nowadays Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard. They were nothing in front of Navadvip. Sleeping, walking, talking, eating. Every time the scholars of Navadvip, they were just debating. That was their hobby. So when Keshav Kashmiri came there, his reputation was already, his fame was already spread before his arrival. So all the scholars were there. They were very confused, scared to face him. So one day, Keshav Kashmiri, when he was walking on the shore of Mother Ganges, so Nimai Sundar was conducting his class over there. And he happened to meet Keshav Kashmiri. And when he arrived to the school of Nimai Pandit, so he introduced himself, and the students became very stunned to see, fascinated. Oh, this is a great Keshav Kashmiri who has come to us. Keshav Kashmiri, such an arrogant person. Oh, yes, yes. Jai Sri Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So, oh, you are the great Keshav Pandit, Digvijay Pandit. Oh, Keshav Kashmiri said, yes, yes, you recognize me. So Nimai Pandit requested Keshav Kashmiri that you please, we have heard that you are such a great scholar, why not you compose beautiful slokas in glorification of Mother Ganga? With the speed of wind, instantly, Keshav Kashmiri composed fresh, brand new sloka. And when the students heard, they were like, ha! Anybody can speak or compose such a verses? And these verses were never published before. He was not referring to books to find out the sloka from where I should quote. Instantly he manufactured, composed these slokas. Then Nimai Pandit said, oh, this is very nice. Now let us see, what are the positive of your composition and some defects. What a great insult for Keshav Kashmiri. Nobody challenged him in this way. And he was speechless that Nimai, who was just a teenage boy, and an ordinary Sanskrit grammar scholar, who was challenging him, such a great scholar. He was feeling so insulted. And immediately, when he was in that situation, that emotion, all the students of Nimai, they started laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Nimai Pandit said, no, you just keep quiet. Because he did not want to hurt the ego of Keshav Kashmiri. So he understood what situation of mental situation he was going. So he said, okay, don't worry. Now you have feel very tired. You go home and we will meet tomorrow and we will discuss further. Keshav Kashmiri became like a frozen. And then he returned to home all the way thinking, what happened to me today? Why did Mother Saraswati did not help me today? Why I could not speak in front of this boy, ordinary boy? Whole night he could not sleep. And when he fell asleep, then Mother Saraswati appeared in the dream of Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri prayed to Mother Saraswati, why mother, why you did not help me today when I was in utmost need of your help? Such an ordinary grammar student boy defeated me. Then Mother Saraswati chastised Keshav Kashmiri. You think you are a great scholar? You know with whom you are debating today? He is my lord. All the knowledge what I have is coming from him. And the ultimate benediction what I am giving, I have given you is not that you acquire more and more knowledge of the scriptures. But the ultimate benediction you have is that by my mercy, I brought you in front of that Supreme Personality of Godhead today. So go and surrender at his lotus feet. Then you will be saved. As soon as the sun rose in the morning, immediately Keshav Kashmiri ran towards the house of Nimai Pandit. Without any his associates, no elephants, no palanquin, no all the musical instruments were with him. He ran. Immediately he knocked the door. As soon as Nimai Pandit opened the door, he fell down at the lotus feet of Lord Gauri Chandra. And he begged forgiveness. Lord Nimai told him that the purpose of all the knowledge is not to increase our arrogance. It's not to increase our arrogance, but to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to surrender to him. Now from today on, you give up this mentality. And he blessed him. And then he became a great devotee of the Lord. So we see here the great Digvijay Pandit, Lord Chaitanya, defeated him. He crushed his pride. But when he came in front of his spiritual master, Sri Padishwar Puri, he accepted defeat. So that is the nature of the Lord, that he wants to be conquered by the love of his devotee. I beg your forgiveness, I am running over time. There are many things to say, but the time is over and I have to follow the instruction of my senior devotees here. Thank you very much to all of you. All this, such a wonderful devotees over here. I feel so inspired being over here, seeing all the dedicated devotees serving to Sri Sri Pancha Tattva, and what incredible mercy Srila Prabhupada has given in our life, that by his mercy he built such a house where all kind of people of the world, irrespective of caste, breed, color, they can come together and take shelter of Sri Sri Pancha Tattva. So it's a great benediction. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Pancha Tattva ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.